This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Tracy Koga, and thanks for downloading this podcast from ilikehugh.com. If you can, give us a follow or a subscribe. And remember that all the information about the guests in today's episode can be found at ilikehugh.com. Now, let's get started.
Officially say that the theater is open. Well, virtually open, okay. So Royal MTC has The Mountaintop currently on stage virtually starring these two amazing actors. So let's bring them on in, Teresa Richards and Ray Strachan. So good to see both of you. Welcome to Hugh at Home. And, you know, normally I, you know, was very fond of always going to the media calls and seeing that, you know, 2-minute little scene done 5 times as we all got our shots and then, you know, getting to do the sit-down chat with an actor. Well, I'm almost getting to do that today, but let's get into it right now, The Mountaintop. And, of course, I'm going to guess go to Ray because you've got the big role to play here, Martin Luther King Jr. What was that experience like for you, Ray, in this kind of world of virtual and not really being able to perform in front of a live audience?
Yeah, it's it was exciting, amazing, weird. I get to do the most known role. I don't know if I'd say it's the bigger role. We share this play 50-50. But, you know, it's daunting playing the role of MLK. And like I said, exciting, due to the fact that Katori Hall's written such a beautiful play, and I get to play him as a human being. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be the guy that you see on the interviews and you see doing the speeches. I get to be a guy who kicks his shoes off, has holes in his socks, and just gets to be a man who's flawed.
And was that hard for you, Ray? I mean, really, realistically, I mean, there's been so many different incarnations of that character, and then how do you kind of figure and get inside his head of just being a normal person?
Yeah, it's a lot of research. As an actor, I tend to try and find those personal ties I have with each character I play. And obviously, to the extremes, I don't know what it's like to be a civil rights leader, and I don't know what it's like to live in 1960s America. But I do know what it's like to be a black man living in a country who discriminates against the color of your skin. I do know what it's like to be away from my family and not be able to help them if danger does come. So, you know, there's you try and make those ties, and at the same time, you try and make him as human as possible. And I think it's a positive thing these times because it shows people that you don't have to be an iconic person to be part of the movement.
Oh, most definitely. And now for you, Teresa, your character, Kamei, and she, may I say, does command a lot of the stage and a lot of the play.
Yeah, she's a great, really beautiful, sassy, fiery character. I feel like Katori Hall has written, it's one of the most well-rounded, fully formed, complex black women characters that I've ever read in a script and gotten the pleasure to play. I think Katori Hall has really written something beautiful with this. It's one of my favorite plays. It's been on my radar for the last 10 years, and it's one of those dream roles that have been on my bucket list to play. So I'm really glad that I had a chance to play it because Kamei is just... It's such a delicious character for an actor to get to sink her teeth into, and I'm really fortunate to get to play her.
Now, for you, Teresa, did any of what's happened in 2020, and not talking about COVID and the pandemic, but talking about women, talking about black women, talking about women of color, did this add to your kind of arsenal into playing Kamei?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the great thing about this play is that, you know, it's you know, the topic of, you know, the way Black Lives Matter and the movement that we're in is seems to be a cyclical thing that, you know, this our fight for civil rights has been going on for years and it still continues. And I think we will always be fighting it. And so, you know, it's timely. It's even more timely after George Floyd's death. And, you know, I was saying in our previous interview that I think if MLK was alive today, he'd be equal parts amazed and horrified that this fight is still going on. But yeah, I think what Katori Hall, the playwright, has written with Cam May is, you know, really highlighted the Black women's, you know, burden that they have, she has to care for others. And, you know, this woman is not just your typical Black female character, but she is so complex and she has so much going on with her and has have so many objectives and she's fighting for so much that it's great to have so many tools to play with and so many places to go. And it's really exciting and quite challenging.
No. Oh, my goodness. No doubt. So, Ray, when you're faced, obviously, with a very strong female character like Kameh, in your own mind, too, in your own character, is it kind of good to kind of just kind of sit back and watch it all or?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing as an actor to watch another actor with such strength take on that role and just go with it and roll with it. And I do get to sit back as an actor and watch Charissa just embody this character and then go. Well, I was about to say a term that probably wouldn't be correct. Just go full out. Full out, that's the clean way of saying it, with this character. But as an actor, she is, as a character, MLK, he's constantly being challenged by this motel worker about his mission, his purpose in life. So he never really gets to sit back and really take it in. He is constantly being challenged by her. His views of the world are being challenged by her all the time, which makes it really exciting, actually.
And we can kind of roll that into what's really happening in our world today, right? In essence, we are all being really challenged in our own beliefs, in our rights, and, you know, and how we live and who we even associate with, too. So it's really interesting in how timely this play really is.
Yeah,
and it's not just, you know, we just finished off Black History Month and definitely coincided with that. But we are in a huge shift, you know, with the pandemic. It's allowed us, or it's made us sit and really take in the world and the condition of the world that we're in, especially in regards to money and the poverty gap and how that's really put people in a bind, especially with the pandemic here now. So it's a play that allows us to reflect on where we are and what we can do as human beings, how we can, to steal a term from the play, pick up that baton, be a part of the movement in any fashion, any way, any size role.
Charissa, I'm going to ask you this question and taking up on that too as well, and on moving forward, roles for Black people, especially Black women, in the theater. Obviously, we want to see more of it. Do you see this happening? Are there more plays written? Are there more roles coming? I know it's kind of slow, but yeah.
I mean, now is the time for us to find those stories. And I think theaters have the responsibility to find those characters, to find those stories, and do the research and outreach needed to find these voices. And I think we have a responsibility as Black artists and theater makers to bring those stories forward as well. I mean, you know, Ray and I have been trying to get Winnipeg to do this show for quite some time. We've both been, you know, really passionate about it ever since I moved back here about 5 years ago. Ray and I connected and we love the show and we're really pushing for theaters to do this. And I think that's, you know, we have agency as performers and as artists to approach theaters with stories that need to be told. And, you know, thankfully, MTC rose to the challenge and decided to put this one on. And it's, you know, it's stories like this that need to be told more often. And stories like this with characters that are so fully formed and have so nuanced. And I think we need more of that. We need to be writing our own stories as people of color so that we have more of our stories out there. And we also need to be, like, finding those stories stories, and theaters need to be working together with artists of color to really bring those stories to the fore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I think totally agree with that. Ray, I was going to now go to going back to when we used to come for media calls. This was all shot by Frank Digital, I believe. So what was the whole process of that like as an actor, as opposed to you're out there, you feel the energy of all that audience going back and forth?
Yeah, as an actor, the process, you know, COVID protocols aside, mm-hmm. In rehearsals was almost to the T of what we usually do. We had mm-hmm. time to rehearse, really mind the play, look into the play off each other in the rehearsal hall before we moved to the stage. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to the stage and then it got kind of different. we had people walking around trying to figure out camera angles. And then on the day that we recorded it, we did the show twice. We had to stop for some technical difficulties with yeah. sweat and microphones. And of course, like you said, we don't get to play with the audience, which is a thing I miss 100% you can't replace that.
No.
And I'm not talking about the size of the audience. It's not to do with the size and the size of the theater. It has to do with performing with an audience there and working off each other and listening to each other and being there with each other and being in that shared space. You can't replicate that. It's different with me watching it from my living room with my partner and my dogs. It's not the same.
Yeah, that symbiosis of audience and actor is, you know, when you're filming something like this, a play, you know, it's so apparent how necessary that relationship is and how much, you know, you crave that as an actor. But I will say that, you know, I've never clung to my fellow actor and connected to a fellow actor in the way that I felt that Ray and I were connecting during this process, because we only had each other, right? We didn't have an audience to play off of. So it was a real deep, I felt a really deep connection as we went through this play, and we really relied on each other to stay in the moment, to stay connected, to fight for what we wanted as our characters. And it was a really beautiful thing to be able to do that. I think it was... Yeah. The most connected I've probably ever been to another actor on stage in that way, when you only have each other, right?
Well, 100%. You know, yeah, I think we're just going to cross the borders between plays and film and movies, and it's all going to be blended into one. But I would imagine you're right, Teresa, that when it's only you and Ray on the stage, it's just you two. So it can really create some really intimate moments and powerful moments. So I really do agree on that. You know, maybe just I'm going to throw this out here because it was really interesting. Teresa, you spoke very passionately about more people of color writing their stories and actors of color going to the theater companies and saying, look at these works. Would we be able to maybe see, and maybe it's not the right thing, but to create a theater for Black people?
It's a good question. You know, I think since George Floyd's death, I've really, my advocacy and my art have really been connecting in ways that they perhaps weren't before. Mm-hmm. And I, as you know, probably one of the older Black actors in the city, I am really realizing how necessary it is to have a theater of color in our town. We don't have one. And, you know, I don't know if that's the right move. I always think that people of color, you know, having more people of color in positions of power, such as owning their mm-hmm. own theater, is a great thing. And I think that's definitely a direction. There's also, you know, having artistic directors of color, like mm-hmm. a Black artistic director would be such a welcome thing in our city. But it is our responsibility as people of color and the, you know, these predominantly white institutions to come together and try to figure out how to create this work and find this work and develop this work. If it's not mm-hmm. the work, you know, if they're like, well, there's no plays out there, people of color. First of all, that's not true. There's plenty. But also it's our jobs as institutions in the cities, as, you know, especially the theatrical institutions have been around for as long as they have, like MTC, to work together with the community to find these stories and develop new writers, you know, and create works that properly represent the city that we live in. So to be able to attract new audiences who perhaps don't feel like they have a home here at these theaters, and only by seeing themselves on stage and having people of color behind, you know, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. as writers, as directors, as leaders in the community, is the way to really bring these audiences into the theaters, and perhaps this medium of film is also more accessible to people of color, and to have them to create new audiences that way as well. So, you know, it's pretty positive.
Yeah, no, I do agree, and I'm glad. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. And to wrap things up, Ray, I guess for you, and all things considered, what was the most or biggest takeaway for you from being in The Mountaintop?
Biggest takeaway. Before I get into that, I'd just like to add on to that. I think due to the pandemic and due to people coming home, we have now seen a large amount of people of color, and specifically Black talent in Winnipeg, mm-hmm. of all ages. Before, when I was getting into the biz, I had to go to Toronto to find a mentor, to find other Black actors to relate to. This year alone, so much Black talent has been unearthed in Winnipeg. So much young talent coming out of university, going into university, in high school. The demographics are changing. So I think now, of all times, is an optimal time to start a Black theater. The Black voice is strong in Winnipeg, and it's time to come together. And in regards to what I've gotten out of, well, I just use that as my pedestal.
Yes.
Speaking of MLK. Wow. See what happens? I got to get rid of this mustache.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you'll play Drake next. I don't know.
The power's still there. But to come out of this play, I never realized how much of a call to action it is for the audience. Mm-hmm. Of course, I got to delve into Black history, into MLK, into the Black struggle, into my own Black identity. But about this play, it is such a call to action for the people in the audience at this time to step up. If you do want to get to the mountaintop, if we do want to get to a place of equality, love, anti-racism, anti-Black, anti-poverty, anti-war, we all have to step up. And we don't have to worry about being at the level of MLK. Do what we can. Get that momentum going, and we can get there. So that's what I got out of the play doing it this time.
And I think that message of legacy, passing on that baton, is a real important message in this play, of like, you know, future generations and other people picking up this message and this, you know, the mantra and the mantle, and passing it on and fighting for what they want and passing it along as well.
Oh, well, thank you, Ray and Sharissa. And I'll just say that, yes, Mantle's going to have their newest Black People Theater, and introducing these co-directors, I think, right? So we just need a board and to pass it, and I will pass it, the motion, and you just bring on all those young actors. Yes.
Let's do this.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much to both of you. And you can see The Mountaintop. It runs until March 14th, and you can go to the website, royalmtc.ca, for tickets and all the details.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of ilikehugh.com. Podcast distribution from the Sound Off Media Company. Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at AveryRich.com.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.